What if the life you dream about is something isn't something that you find, it's something that you build. Piece by piece, choice by choice, like a craftsman shaping an instrument. Today we sit down with a man who lives that truth. Gabe Omega builds guitars with his own hands, builds music with that moves the soul, and builds a life of recovery and service that inspires everybody around him. This conversation is about crafting a life that you believe in, from raw wood and rough edges to a sound and purpose that lasts. Welcome back to the Clean Life Cast, where healing becomes a movement. I'm your host, Mason Anderson, and I got my co-host, Daniel Tapasula. Today, our guest is a guitar maker, a musician, a leader in recovery, and a friend who has been a guide and example to me since the very first days in sobriety. Gabe tours, writes, and plays outlaw country blues, runs HA meetings across the valley, and somehow finds the time to pour wisdom into everybody that he meets. Today, we're talking about what it means to craft a life that you truly believe in and how to keep it real when the world tries to pull you off course. So we're super grateful to be here with you, bro.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Yeah, man, this is a really awesome experience. I'm like, I say it every single time, but like, you're a true mentor in my life. And it's like the only reason why I keep saying that in all these podcast is because like I truly am around a bunch of amazing people, giants that I look up to. So
yeah, I love it too.
Same.
I love it too. I got to Wasatch before Gabe, but I still feel like I call you my OG. Like I so much knowledge from this guy. What Mason just said about him is facts, and I believe it to be true. I got so much love for my homie Gabe, and I appreciate everything that you've helped me get through and think, you know, changing the mindset. Love you, brother.
Well, thanks. You know, that goes both ways.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, I'm truly inspired by everybody around me in recovery, from the people that got like a couple of days to the people that got multiple years. Everybody says something that rings with me when they're speaking truth.
So a couple of things, like I was thinking, there are kind of personal questions that I wanted to ask about what you got going on right now. So I know that your newest venture is the guitars that you've been making. So you want to just like tell these guys about that?
It's always been a dream of mine to build guitars. Built many. You know, I never really like had a... I would build them and then I wouldn't want to get rid of them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, this thing's so great. I'm just going to keep it, right?
Yeah.
But like, you know, when somebody picks up, when another guitar player picks up something that I've built and says, wow, man, I really love this.
Yeah.
Like that inspires me to want to create, like, to me, creating a musical instrument is like probably as spiritual as I can get. You know what I mean? Like I'm taking something that's like God-given, you know, the sound, the whole thing about music and how it works mathematically and how it works rhythmically and vibrations and everything that I really feel like when I'm doing that I'm in touch with the spirit, you know? And then when somebody picks it up and like really likes the way it plays and everything, like I feel like I did something where I connected with the spirit and now somebody else gets to, you know, enjoy that.
Yeah.
And so, like making them is not about, you know, making a big company and making a lot of money. You know, I ain't expecting to get big like Gibson or Fender or anything like that. I just want them out there as part of my legacy. You know, I want like my kids to say someday when somebody says, you know, there was only 80 of these guitars made, you know, who was this guy? You know, blah, blah, blah. That's part of the legacy that I leave behind for like my kids and anybody else that I've come in contact with.
You know? Love that, brother. How does that parallel with like your recovery or with your life? Like, what is it, the passion behind it, your passion or your why?
So when I sit down and I start with a guitar, it's so much like my recovery. You know what I mean? Number one, I have to be patient. I can't settle for less. And I have to put the best I can into it and be happy with how it comes out. You know, obviously I want to perfect it, you know, and like the same thing I want to do with my recovery. I want it to be perfect. I want life to be perfect, but that's not how life is, right?
Right.
Yeah. Things are going to have flaws. They're going to have blemishes. And so when I go into it, I say like, I'm going to make this the best that I have the ability with what I have to work with, you know, and I'm literally working out of here to build them. Like, you know, I go over to my friend's paint shop to paint them. Like, I don't have like a factory or a facility, right?
Right.
I've got like just the bare minimum of tools. I go at it with that. And it's the same thing with my recovery. I have the bare minimum of tools. Right. And I've got to go at my life with that. You know, when you get clean and sober, like, depending on how far down the scale you've gone, like in the beginning, maybe all you have is your Lambertides,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah.
To get to work. Like, yeah. I'm going to walk to work because I have the ability to walk to work. And then you get a bus pass and it's like, oh man, now yeah. I can take the bus to work, right?
That's, yeah.
And you know, like it really is like that, you know? Yeah. And for me in my recovery, it was about like, okay, I had to get a copy of my, I'd been on the streets for a year. I had to get a copy of my birth certificate, my social security card, yeah. my ID, like all these things. And those be easy. Each one of those became a tool to craft the life that I'm living right now.
Yeah, but they also became accomplishments because we're in groups together and watching you first get your ID. I forgot if it was your driver's license or your bus pass or something. And we processed it in group. And the smile you had on your face of just basic adulting.
Yeah.
It was so dope. You know, I remember when I got my first bus pass, I was bragging to everybody. I had to ride the bus 1 hour and 15 minutes to get a 7-minute drive down the street.
Yeah.
You know, like just being able to enjoy things that if I haven't gone through this process, I would never have appreciated. I would have just, like, I don't need a bus pass. Not understanding the humility of the basic of adulting.
Yeah.
And to be able to watch you, like, take those things and apply it to your guitar and also to you, like, building yourself. And you say limited to, like, the bare minimum of tools. Your bare minimum of tools is different from mine's because your bare minimum brought you from your depth.
Yeah.
You know, you yeah. needed certain tools to get you out of your depth, and I needed different tools to get me out of mine's, you know? So bare minimum of tools doesn't mean you don't have a lot. You got a lot of
yeah,
freaking tools.
Yeah. yeah. But like each one of those tools yeah. bought me 2 more tools.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then those 2 bought me 4 tools.
Yeah.
Like literally, like that Social Security card got me a job, which paid rent, cell phone bill, you know, car insurance, you know, motorcycle insurance, all that stuff. Like every tool multiplied.
Yeah.
And so like, and it's the same thing with like building the guitar, you know what I mean? Every time I take it to the next stage,
yeah.
Okay, first it's a piece of wood. Now it's a painted piece of wood,
yeah.
Okay? Now it's got a neck on it, you know? And now it's got tuning knobs, and now it's got electronics in it, and it all those things. It's like each one of them, it's getting closer to being a guitar.
That's so lit, bro.
Right? And I love that about it, and like, I truly believe, like something we talked about the other day about, like, you can fake being happy and you could probably even fake being successful, right? You could go out and buy a Ferrari and be broke, you know, and everything. Yeah. And I'm yeah. successful, everybody. But I try to embrace things that you can't fake. You can't fake being good at golf.
No.
You can't fake being good at playing guitar, no. Right? So I embrace those things because they bring challenges to me.
Yeah.
You know? That, and when I sit down here probably 2 hours a day minimum, yeah. Right? I get off work, I spend a couple hours down here playing guitar. And I don't come down here and play stuff that I already know.
Okay.
I come down here and I challenge myself to do something new, whether it's writing a new song, learning a new riff, learning a new technique, learning something new about my equipment, right? Yeah. Every one of these guitars does something different for me. I can pick up one of these guitars and it will inspire me to play like cool hillbilly music, you yeah. know, like this one right here. Like yeah. this thing, it's as old as I am.
Let's go.
That thing is as old. I'm 62. This thing is 62 years old, right? So we walk this thing like we're like, it inspires me to do that. Like one of these, you know, lightning shaped ones over yeah. here, that inspires me to write metal.
Yeah.
You know, some of these banged up ones that are over here. I mean, some of these I've had since the 70s. And yeah. don't ask me how I managed to hang on to them. Yeah. I guess the things that you're most passionate about, you'll figure out a way to hang on to them. But so they all bring a different thing to me. And it's the same way with my friends. I have friends that inspire me in ways of, like, you know, going forward and accepting the challenge. Right? And I have other friends that support me when I'm kind of broken and not feeling like I can do it. I have other friends who inspire me to like work harder, you know, and it every one of these is like a different one of my friends.
Yeah. That's so dope.
And
I love that too.
Like, I mean, guitar players would understand that. Right. Yeah. But like, just, you know, a music lover.
Yeah.
Might look at a guitar and go, oh, it's cool, it's red, you know? And when I look at it, I go, oh, wow, man, let me touch that. Let me see what that inspires in me. And that's what I love about, like, the recovery community is, like, I'm around all kinds of different people. And then the non-recovery community, you know, like my friends at work that are, don't know nothing about addiction and everything. They inspire me and I watch them and I love how I used to think we're the only ones who got attacked by, like, you know, all the challenges and the struggles. They get the same thing. They just react different to it. Yeah. They respond different to it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to throw up a terrible twos fit right first. Okay, go storming into Sharice's office and say, I don't know anything about this being an adult. Yeah. I don't want it, blah, 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 blah. But like those people, like, I see them and they have their challenges too. And I go, what?
Yeah, they just reacted different.
Yeah. That
same, like my brother, 1 year younger, we sat down next to each other throughout everything that I've gone through in my life that got me here. He's just a regular dude. He lives right down the street on 90th and 1300 West. Went about his life and was all right. Like, we drank together. We did some drugs, but the drugs caught a hold of me more than it did him, and he was able to stop. I like the analogy of the guitars as how you related it to your community, because I feel like all of my friends do have similarities on what they bring to the table, but they also have like a specific thing that they do, you know, that's different from each other. And last thing, the thing I love about Gabe is that not every time, but there's a lot of times I hear Gabe share about make your community outside of Wasatch, and that's something I like.
Yeah.
Like, don't just be surrounded by one group. There's no such thing as too much when it comes to community, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Now, my friend circle, pretty small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like my recovery community is huge.
Yeah.
And I meet different people that may become really close friends. You know, I had a friend just send me a text and say, I miss you. Is it cool to stop by your work and say hi? And she came by my work and said hi. And like, I can't even tell you how that makes my day. Like, she's just a friend from recovery, but she was thinking about me.
Yeah.
Said, text me, said, I miss you. You know, how's things going? I said, good. And she goes, cool to stop by. My life is so, like, even before drugs and everything, I was still pretty kind of shut off from everything. You know what I mean? I can isolate. Like, I can come down here and, man, not even know how much time has passed. You know what I mean? And sometimes I have to stop myself and go, okay, this might be a little, because this is my comfort zone down here. You know what I mean? Like, I know what to expect when I walk down those stairs.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, getting comfortable down here, like, I need to get outside and get uncomfortable sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And meet those, like, I don't like to call them struggles anymore. I like to call them challenges, and I'm up for the challenge.
Yeah.
I love that, bro. That's so fire. So something that keeps on popping up in my mind is like, so you were the first person when I came into Wasatch that caught my eye in recovery. And I remember you said some things, and it kind of hit me in a way that was like, wow. Screw this guy. like you said some things that were like hard for me to hear at that point of my day one. I actually have my chip in my pocket from that day.
Mm-hmm.
My 24-hour chip I got at your meeting, at the HA meeting. So, but I remember that even back then you were talking about like balance and like being able to humble yourself in that, in your life, and being okay with like where you're at and those type of things. And so, and then I've heard you repeat that in different meetings where, and it's something that I really truly look up to you with. Like you said, like you got that job and you were just okay with having the job. Like you were okay with just when you got here, just having a bed, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something that, did that something come with time, or was that something that came with like experience, you think?
Oh man, totally came with time. when I first got out of treatment, I wanted everything right now, right? Everything.
Yeah.
And I would spend money irresponsibly. When I would get money, like my first job was painting houses, and I don't know anything about painting houses. I probably ruined houses all over Utah County that people might just be noticing right now. But like I would get, and it was under the table, right? So I would get handed a whole bunch of cash at one time. And instead of like, I would take care of my bills and stuff. But what I had left over, like I would go, do I want to be able to eat lunch every day and have cigarettes? And like, and I'd go, no, I need a new pair of Adidas. Because I'd see somebody else with a new pair of Adidas. Yeah. Man, and I would like, I would buy Adidas, and then I'd be hungry all week, right? And then I would go, okay, I already got Adidas, right? Good, right? And then somehow in that week, I'd see something else that I just had to have, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I would go another week. I was starving myself to look good. I was fixing the outside and not the inside. Well, like, for me, the real work started when I got out of treatment and into, like, day treatment and IOP. And I think people think like, I got it, well, you know, because you learn some powerful stuff in treatment, right? In inpatient, right? And you think, I got this. And then they just stop doing the work. And the real work is out here when you're the exposure therapy and, you know, and the girls and the, like all that, right?
Building a structure.
And it's like, am I going to continue to do the work? And there were a couple of people that used to work here. I don't know what I can say and not say as far as names, right? But there were some people that worked here, some therapists, that one male therapist in particular that had a huge impact on me about, like, stop fixing the outside, Gabe. Like, I mean, you know, you got ink on your face, you're all pierced up and everything. Don't you think you look cool enough? Why don't we start working on the inside?
Let's go, dude.
And I was like, whoa. And that would, when that hit me is when I started thinking about, okay, I want to do that. You know, and the steps, the 12 steps, I'm a big fan of the 12 steps. And because they help you clean up the mess. And if you clean up the mess, the internal stuff starts taking care of itself, right? Your posture changes, your demeanor changes, yeah. Your response to things changes, because you're not that guy that's like throwing mail away thinking it makes the problem go away. You know what I mean?
Don't see it,
if I don't see it, it doesn't exist, yeah. Right? Like, open that mail. That's a gift, man. That's a nice little reminder of like maybe how much trouble you're in, you know?
Yeah, so.
So like, okay, let me take care of this. Let me take care of that. That's the stuff that fixes the internal. And obviously God, like, you know, I'm sorry to all the atheists in the world. But I know God, and I know God personally, right?
For sure.
And I was very fortunate that I didn't need to come into this program and create a God. Oh, I really feel for the people that have to come in and have to create a God that they can do business with. Like, I like the one that had the rule book. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, dude, here's some commandments and here's your moral compass. Let's see if you can find your way out with that, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, right?
And so, sure. Like, I love that, like, I already had that belief, but yeah. I had to learn how to, like, best I've ever heard it say was, I said one time to somebody, I said, I believe in God. And they said, do you believe in God or do you believe there is a God?
Yeah.
Because there's a different.
Yeah.
Believing that there's a God is just like, okay, there's a God. But yeah. Believing in God means you believe in his way is the best way.
I love that, bro.
And that's where you learn to let go of that.
Okay, going off building a life, let's go back to God. And there was a part where you disconnected from God. How were you able to build that relationship back with your with God? Who you consider God,
redemption, right? I mean, ask for forgiveness,
yeah,
and not keep repeating the things that I asked for forgiveness for,
yeah,
which, right,
yeah,
like that's the key, right? Yeah. I can't just keep, I mean, you can, I guess God is forgiving, right? But yeah. like the goal for it is like if I'm going to ask God to forgive me for being selfish and self-centered,
yeah,
then I need to do my part and work on not being, right? You know what I mean?
Like never having to ask for forgiveness for the same thing twice, right?
Yeah. God will give you a job, but he won't make your spine straighten up when you get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
That's up to you.
You got to do the
work. You got to stand up. You got to put the shoes on. You got to show up to the job. God will make all kinds of things possible for you. You know, he'll open the door. You got to walk through it. Yeah. And that's what it was for me with my recovery. That was, you know, it's tattooed on my knuckles. Let's talk more rock, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to learn how to stop talking about it and start doing about it.
Yeah.
You know? And if I say, you know, I remember the look on people's face when I said, I'm doing my first solo record. And I would see people go, man, that guy's in dreamland, right? Yeah. And, but I was like already doing it when I was talking about it.
Yeah.
And I would come back from, you know, a studio session and I'd talk about it. And literally people would look at me like I was crazy, right? They didn't know that I had a past history of music or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. They just thought I was some guy in, you know, outpatient treatment that had dreams bigger than his feet, right?
Yeah.
But, and then actually finishing that and it wasn't about what they thought anymore. Yeah. It was about what I thought.
I'm still fire.
You know what I mean? Yep. I spent my life in rock and roll, punk rock, heavy metal, right? And I took it, and I can go knock that stuff out all day long. Picking up an acoustic guitar, walking into a studio by myself, no effects, no nothing, just straight up old school, Hank Williams style, like it's just me naked, right, with this guitar and doing it and then putting it out for people to hear it.
Yeah. And like, you being all right with whatever happens, right?
With whatever happened, that took a lot of courage. And and it's the same thing with my recovery. It's like I had to stop, you know, when I first got a job in the supermarket, it the first thought was, what are people gonna think?
Yeah.
When they say, this guy used to have it all, you know,
which is
rock and roll lifestyle and everything. Look at him now working in a supermarket. That was what I would think, right? Yeah. And it's so funny because my daughter said to me, all the great things that you've accomplished in your life, like, I'm more impressed with the fact that you show up to a supermarket every day.
Yeah. At Harmon's, right?
You know what I mean? And I'm like, whoa, that stuff, that was my gift. I mean, the music is my gift from God and my way of expressing things, right? That job was a gift from God.
Yeah.
Where I had to learn how to express myself there as well.
Yeah.
You know, and enjoy it.
And it's crazy that you said, at the beginning, you were nervous about, you know, the ink and the earrings, and you're nervous about what they think. 3 months later, they made a poster of Gabe in Harmon's with all the, and I was like, okay, they got that tattoo right. You know, I was like, oh, they had all his tats and all, which is dope because I don't know, like for me, I took pride in the fact that they were like, you're just another human being.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just this tatted up guy. You're just Gabe.
Yeah.
You know, and this is just you expressing yourself. And they had pride enough to put you out in the front. I took a picture. I got it on my phone. I got a picture with me by you going like that, you know. I was so happy, bro. Yeah, it was so cool to see that, you know, and see you work through that because, yeah, I bet you was nervous. But, and then you worked your way up. Now you're assistant manager in the meat department, right?
And I think that a lot of it comes from, like, what you were talking about, like, the outside appearance is not really what matters. It's that inside, the person that you are as a person, the spirit that you bring, the hard work you put in, the fact that you do show up daily, like those things are what they're looking for. And when you meet somebody that's authentic and really in that lane, you feel it immediately. And you know that person's like a person that you can work with or connect with.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful thing, bro.
And I get to speak for everybody that looks like me, right? Yeah. Like, so, you know, I'm old enough to remember that, like, you know, you used to have to hide your tattoos to go to work.
Yeah.
Right. And if you had ink anywhere other than on your arms, like people associated you with crime and masochistic, you know, whatever. And so like when I show up the way I am, just the way I am, like I get to speak for everybody else that's like this. Like, this is just how I express myself. this is how I express how I feel and all that. And what was really strange about that, how I was so concerned about looking cool, became my thing that I was so afraid of, right? Oh my God, I made myself look so cool. Now I'm being judged, right? And it was like, whoa, it was so confusing, you know? And so when I was so busy thinking I was looking cool, people that mattered, all they saw was inside me. It didn't matter if I had Adidas. Adidas, you owe me some money for this. it didn't matter if I had Adidas on. It didn't matter if I had gold jewelry. It didn't matter if, like, my pants fit the perfect way or any of that stuff. The people that really mattered in my life saw past that.
That's so fire, bro.
I love
that with all my heart.
And that's amazing.
So the next question I have is, how are you balancing like your creativity, your work, and you're like, I know that you mentor a lot of people in your groups, and you show up for people a lot. You're there in the community. So I'm just wondering how that balances and how it looks in your life.
I answer what calls me. You know what I mean by that? If somebody sends me a text message and says, hey man, I need to meet up with you and like some stuff, you know, or whatever, then that's where I'm supposed to be. You know,
sure.
And if the phone ain't ringing and like I don't have to be at work, this is where I'm supposed to be. And if at, you know, when I wake up at 6 a.m, if I'm scheduled to work that day, that's where I'm supposed to be. And I let that create the balance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not good enough to micromanage like balance and all that stuff. I just go where I'm being called. And I have that moral compass, which is located in my stomach. When I'm doing what I'm not supposed to do, or I'm being irresponsible, or I'm being, I feel it here first, right?
Sure. Most definitely.
Like, I should probably be doing this, you know? Have you ever called in sick for work when you weren't sick or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
How you feel all day. It's like there's not, you can't even enjoy this day. No. You just created this story to get out of because you don't feel right about it. That's the moral compass. That's what exists. That's what lives inside. That's the spirit, right? And so as long as I'm not getting that feeling, as long as I'm not feeling like I should be doing this or I should be doing that, then the balance is creating itself.
That's cool. Sick.
Yeah. And I think that that's dead on, because that's exactly how I've been living my life lately. Is like, it's almost like I said it in the last podcast, but it's not like you have to work hard, you have to work aligned.
Yeah,
you get in aligned with your spirit and with your path, and all of a sudden it's not like you're working too much. It just all kind of leads to one place.
Yeah,
and I really am grateful for that. Another question is like, how, like, so you, I know you started a lot of things, like you do your music, you do your guitars, you're doing all these things. For somebody that's out there that's like, they want dreams, they have dreams, or they want to do something, what kind of advice would you have for that person?
Find a thing that you've always wanted to do that you never thought you could. Like, go for it. Like, go find out what you like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And go for it. Like, it's not about the end game. It's not about the final result. There's no destination in my music. Right?
Yeah, forever.
I'm not trying to achieve some like high level thing. I've already been there. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create this like thing that's about who I am. If you love golf, right? But you're not any good at it, the way to get good at it is to go golfing. Right?
Yeah.
That's how you get good at golf. Yeah. You go golfing, right? You can't just walk into it good at it.
Yeah.
Right? So with your dreams, like, you can't just boom, snap your finger and make your dreams happen, right? You got to take the steps to make it happen, right?
Right.
If I want to build a band, the first thing I got to do is I got to find a drummer, and I got to find a bass player, right? And I got to find a rhythm guitar player. And if I'm not going to be the singer, I got to find a singer. And I am going to put the work in that it takes. If I have to go to local shows and find people and go, that guy's good, band sucks, but that guy's good, let me talk to him, right? Or whatever I have to do, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to create that band. That's what I'm doing with the band that I'm creating right now. I'm handpicking the right people, right? Wow. And nothing's going to stop me from that. And let's say 10 years goes by, right? and I'm 72 years old and the band finally has come together, right? It was about the journey, bro. Yeah.
That is so
sick. That outcome is God's play, right? Yeah. We may be the 72ers. I may have to change the name to the 72ers, right? But it's about like just going for it. You got to go for it. Think about the guys that I just saw a video of a guy, skateboarder, another thing that I love. This guy is going to drop in from the top of, they built a ramp on a high rise building. Maybe really? 100 stories, who knows, right? Holy and Red God. Bull built this ramp that goes down like this, right? And this guy's going to drop in on it. So what he had to do was he has to take all the metrics of it, right? He is going to reach a speed of 140 miles an hour.
On his skateboard.
Right? Okay?
Yeah.
So what he has to do is he has to get a rope and he had to tie it to the Red Bull van and they had to go out there and get him going and clock him at that speed to see if his body could handle the G-forces of being on a skateboard that you're not connected to. You're just standing on it, right? Yeah. And then they had to figure out, how's he going to stop? Because there's another building a block away, right? So they built these paths. Like, it's all the stages they had to do. Yeah. This guy had a vision that he wants to be the guy to do the biggest drop in.
Yeah.
And he had a support team. Red Bull supplied him with a support team. Yeah. Like, you're my support team. You're my support team. Sharice is my support team. You know what I mean? Yeah. Todd is my support team, right? So Red Bull gave him a support team. And now it's about doing the work.
Let's go.
That's just, that is so in line with what it takes to for recovery.
Yeah, I love that right? so much. Yeah, I like the whole thing. But there's two things that stood out to me was find it. Because, like, I had no idea what my purpose was or what I was going to be passionate about, but found it. I like doing this. I really love that me and Mason get to do this every week, but I had to find it, but try different things in order to find it. The other thing that was really dope to hear you say was there's no destination for my music. And I take it for me, what that means for me is that there's no destination for who I am too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be the best me. And wherever I end up, like you, answer the call. You know, wherever I end up and wherever I come across, they'll just get the best me. No destination. There's no, I'm going there. It's just, I'm going to get better from here.
Yeah, because you're never done growing.
Yeah.
Every day we grow. Every day we learn new things. As our bodies are getting older and failing, we're learning new things. You know what I mean? Like, every day is this valuable lesson of, like, what my life is about.
Yeah.
And what my life truly is about is joy. That's what my life has really become about. And I don't mean like the joy that I get from, you know, having 150 guitars or the joy I get from going down the street on a motorcycle or the joy I get from being seen with a beautiful woman or anything like that. I'm talking about the joy I feel when I see something good happen for somebody else.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I've heard you say that at a bunch of meetings.
And I never would have thought that that was going to be the thing that gave me the warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
I thought like a cat and a cool couch house and a hot old lady, you know, like I thought that was going to be my warm and fuzzy. And so far, my warm and fuzzy has been being surrounded by people that good things are happening for them, and I get to be a part of that.
Yeah, the first time I heard you say that in a meeting, you said, I know I'm getting better because I'm happy when other people succeed.
Absolutely.
And that's how I know I'm getting better.
Absolutely.
And I thought, okay, I want to be on that level too.
Because those people don't know it,
yeah.
But there are, I have songs that, and I won't ever reveal, like some people know who they're about and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But like these people that these good things are happening for,
yeah,
are inspiring lyrics of songs that I'm writing on a daily basis. Oh, like they're providing me with the experience to like put it into words, you know?
That's beautiful.
And again, that's never how I ever wrote songs before.
Yeah.
I wrote like what I thought you were going to like. Yeah. I wrote what if I talk about fast cars and hot chicks and
just get people like,
yeah, they'll like that. Right. And instead of that, I am writing about like things that are just human nature. And guess what? Just accidentally, everybody relates to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like more like your authentic self came. Your true self, your true form came out in the music, and it's coming out, and it does. You feel it in your music, like you feel your vibe, and I think that people, every person connects to it.
Yeah,
I love that. It's like a God thing.
Did you ever think? Go
ahead.
Did you ever think when you first started this journey that building this life, that joy would be the one thing that you'd express as the thing that you love the most?
I would have never believed that.
Yeah,
never. Never in a million years.
Same boat.
If you would have told me this 2 years and a couple of months ago, you know, I'm like 26 months sober or something.
Yeah.
If you would have told me that then,
yeah,
I would have said, man, that really must sound good on paper. Because that just sounds like, it sounds like happy horseshit is what it sounds like. Yeah. And guess what? It is.
Well, I don't know. If somebody told me, by the end of when you get to about a year or year and a half, you're going to experience the best joy. That's what this is going to be about. I don't know. I probably would have dipped. It's like, that's all I'm going to get is joy. I got joy peanut butter at home, bro. I don't need joy. I need peace. I need to get off these drugs, you know.
Oh my
but
God.
Joy is so dope.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, it is a blessing. So yeah, it's cool to hear you say that.
So, like, what's one of the biggest lessons that you learned on your recovery journey? I have two more questions for you.
Oof. Yeah, the biggest lesson.
Or one of the biggest.
One of the biggest ones has been patience. You know what I mean?
For sure.
There's a part of me that feels lonely once in a while. I've kind of been experiencing that a little bit lately, you know, as far as wanting like a girlfriend and stuff. And knowing that like I'm not there yet.
Sure.
I'm not there yet. I'm still working on me. You know what I mean? Anything that I like. Going on dates, that's one thing. That's fun. That's cool and everything. But like actually joining my life with somebody else's life, it would not be fair to them to have to go through like my growth stuff. You know what I mean? And maybe the same for them. You know, I think when it's time, it'll happen or whatever. But so that's been a challenge.
For sure.
You know, so patience has definitely been a big one. You know, knowing that, okay, this is the time when this can happen, right? When I bought my truck, I was scared,
sure,
you know, to go into credit card debt again and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like I was really scared about that. And when the time came, you know, and I was able to do it or any number of the things that I've gotten to experience along the way, those things happened when they were supposed to happen. Did I want to control them? Did I want to change them? Absolutely. You know, did I want to take the reins back? All right, God, I got it from here. I got it from here. That comes up a lot. So yeah, that's been the biggest thing in my recovery that I'm constantly working on.
For sure.
I hope that answered.
That definitely was great. It was a perfect answer. And it's one of those things that I think was huge for me too. Patience is one of the hardest things I've went through since I've been in recovery. Something that I wanted you to say on this podcast and you said on Todd's podcast. And then you say it meetings all the time.
Which thing?
I'm like, you can't do this if.
Yeah, it is true. Like there's two ways you walk into recovery. Okay. Done and not done.
Cool.
If you're done, you can't do this thing bad enough to get loaded, right? And if you're not done, you can't do it good enough to stay clean.
School, bro.
Like that reservation has to go away. You know what I mean? And I always say, like, the greatest gift I've gotten in my sobriety is that I like being sober better than I like being loaded.
That's cool.
Right? It's not an option anymore. I'm done.
Done.
Like, I know that. You know, and like in 12-step programs, that there's a big stigma around saying I'm done, but I'm done.
Yeah.
And I knew that on that day when I had that spiritual experience, I knew I was done. Now, did I think it was just going to be, you know, roses from there? No.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but I knew I was done. And then, and it's like, you can make that decision. And it really boils down to coming and making a decision. You have to meet your demons face to face. You can't run from them. There's no way you can outrun them. Okay. They're like glued to your back. But you got to turn around and face him and say, is this what I want? Look at it carefully. Be curious about why it's constantly nagging at you and say, is this something I want? Because I'll guarantee you, man, you know, you hear this thing about you can't do it for anybody else. You can only do it for yourself. But there's another side of that. You can't do it for anything else. And what I mean by that is you can't get clean because it's illegal. You can't get clean because it's dangerous, right? When has that stopped us?
Never.
Never, right? That it almost became part of the fun, outrunning the law, you know, getting away with shady stuff, right?
Yeah.
Dangerous? How quickly did we get over, like, you know, oh, so-and-so OD'd. Oh, really? Yeah, man. Hey, you got any shit?
Every time I heard somebody OD'd, I was like, who they bought it from? They got that good shit.
Right?
For real?
Like, it couldn't get dangerous enough or scary enough or illegal enough to stop me. And if parents... like if your parents are putting you in treatment, okay, like they're doing the best they can. They're working from their heartstrings, right? But like at some point that person's got to say, look, I'm willing to give this a try. I'm willing to do all the work. This is what I can promise you. Okay. That world ain't going nowhere, but the opportunities to change will fade more and more as you keep going down that wrong line.
So
that'll still be waiting for you. There's still going to be, you know, dope on the street, needle exchange people, but all that stuff. It's all going to be there waiting on you. If you don't like this, give it a chance. And that's probably the only time I will like ask, like almost beg somebody, like, please give it a try. Because I would rather say, if you don't want this, go. No hard feelings, man. Like, I'm not going to, you're not, like, if you want to be a dope addict and live in a tent on the block, or you want to try to bounce from motel to motel, or you want to try to have an apartment and a girlfriend and sell dope and all that stuff, knock yourself out, bro. That might be your dream. That might be what you're, that might mean as much to you as this means to me. Right? But every once in a while, I want to beg people and say, please, man, give this a chance. Because, like, if you can get it to where life isn't so hard, I promise you it gets easier. You know, if you can get to that point where life is not like, you know, like AVMP coming to the house every other day and you know, the old friends reaching out to you and all that stuff. You can get past all that stuff. Like, I promise you, it gets easier. It, the longer I'm sober, the easier it is to stay sober, right? And the longer I'm doing the right thing, the easier it is to do the right thing.
That's badass. Yeah, I love that. So, how can people find you, first of all, like your pages or whatever?
Yeah.
Facebook.
You know, I'm on Spotify, Gaby Omega. That's G-A-B-E-Y, not G-A-B-B-Y. So it's G-A-B-E-Y Omega. On all streaming platforms, that's for my music. You know, like, if you're somebody that just wants to, like needs help, you can email me.
Clean Life Community on all platforms.
Yeah, reach out to these guys. They'll reach out to me, right?
Or show up.
I'm not that, like, the dude that gives his phone number. Yeah. Like, I'm not that guy.
If you want to talk to Gabe in person, 7:30 Rise and Grind HA meeting.
Yeah, Sunday. There you go. Right on.
No number.
And then the next thing is, like, what's next for you? I know you got a lot going on. So what are you focused on right now for your mission?
So I got, like, some exciting stuff coming up with the music. I got some festival shows that I'm going to be doing next year. You know, I'm building this band. And I'm writing music. And like, we'll see what blossoms and what just...
Yeah.
Stays a bulb.
Let's go, bro.
Right?
I love it.
So,
well, thank you so much. All right. So, building a life that you believe in doesn't happen by accident. It's crafted one honest decision, one act of service, and one note of music at a time. Gabe, thank you for showing us the real art and all the things that you do, like it really truly has made an impact in this community and in my life for sure. So I'm super grateful that we have this opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, share, subscribe, follow Gabe's music. It's lit. And then he'll let us know when shows are coming up for sure. And we'll make sure we get it out to the community. And healing isn't just personal. It's a movement.
It's definitely a movement. Thank you, Gabe, for being on here.
Absolutely.
Dope conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Love you, brother.
You guys rock.